much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm a professional cowboy, and I use catheters. Been cowboying for 25 years. I've broken 14 bones, had 2 concussions, and a punctured lung. I know pain, and I don't want any more of it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Started from the bottom, now we're here. Started from the bottom, now the whole team here. Buy a chopper and have a doctor on speed dial, I guess. Mad City. 6 foot, 7 foot, 8 foot bunch. Young Money Militia, and I am the commissioner. You don't want to start wheezy, because the F is for finisher. Panda, 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 panda. They mad, they ain't famous. They mad, they still nameless. But we still hood famous. Yeah, we still hood famous.
Why are you so white?
A star is born.
This was a success.
And now.
You know what they say? Heavy is the head that wears the pants. It's Shakespeare. Maybe pick up a book once in a while.
Our feature presentation.
All right, so Chip.
Yeah.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Chip.
I
hope Chip's not dead. Here's my biggest fear in the whole wide world is that Mr. Pickles got her, because there's been animosity between her and her cat.
Yeah.
For as long as we've known her.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're about the same size and weight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that cat one day is just going to surprise Chip and just take her down.
And you think this may have been the day, huh?
Well, look.
She's not here. We haven't heard from her.
Chip is the most reliable employee we have at K-Rock.
Yes.
Period.
Was.
Oh, Kevin.
So let's go with was.
When she didn't show up and when I started texting her just after 5... and didn't hear back, because I could understand, you know, it's not uncommon for there to be a sick alert or something. The road's closed. She gets here a little late. But nothing back from her. Mm-mm. So that means to me she wasn't in her car on the way.
No.
So does that mean she's asleep, or is Mr. Pickles using her as a chew toy?
Mr. Pickles is a dick.
Yeah.
So that's concerning.
That. That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, Chip
is a chew toy.
We could.
I mean, I think that's what we've. That's the conclusion.
I was thinking we could call her.
Yeah.
I was thinking we could call her, but then, you know, she has little kids living in the house, you know, and you don't really want to wake the whole family up.
Home life does she have?
5:30 in the morning.
What's going on?
Does she live with her sister?
I don't know. Is she running some kind of daycare out of her house?
It should be daycare,
right?
I think
a bed and breakfast or whatever you call it. Yeah. Dial it. Why not?
Why not?
Hold on, you guys. Hold on. Stop, Mugs.
Hold.
Just got a text from Chip.
Oh, okay. She's alive.
She's alive.
Well, we don't know. It could be Pickles.
Get Mr. Does Pickles text?
He does.
Mr. Pickles just took over her phone.
Right.
I just asked her to call the hotline, so let's have her call us. And that way, because I don't know if she's on the road or if she just is still waking up or what the deal is. But
well, she lives in Orange County. It won't take her long with rush hour starting in about 20 minutes.
Not an issue.
Poor Chip.
No, she should be here by 8 a.m.
Sure.
I would think.
Yeah.
Come on, Chip. Call the goddamn hotline. Tell us what's going on. I hope Mr. Pickles is okay. If it was some sort of a,
I mean,
some sort of cage match.
Bean can find a way to look at every story negatively.
I mean.
No, that was being positive. I'm just saying if it was a struggle, if Mr. Pickles attacked Chip, I'm glad Chip's okay, but I also hope that Mr. Pickles is okay.
All right.
So, how's it going, you guys?
Well,
pretty
it looks
good?
Like is someone on that line?
Yeah, James tried to call her. I don't know if she has. I just texted her the hotline number.
You don't know if she has the hotline number.
No.
She's the one that gives
that
it to us.
I think that she knows the hotline
she
number.
She does.
I think so,
it's
Kim.
It's all pointing to Pickles right now.
All right, she says, "Give me a minute. I'm scrambling to get out the door."
Oh
come on.
She must have just woken up.
Oh.
Mugs, that's happened to you a lot in your life.
Oh.
What's that feeling like when you wake up and it's light out?
It is the worst feeling in the world. It really is.
And Mugs does it like every other day, so he's familiar
with it.
Yeah, you
get used to it.
Yeah.
Man. Okay.
Good times.
Good times.
That's the way to start this show.
Well, at least everyone else is here.
Oh wait.
Oh no.
It was very strange to be the only person. I mean, and by the way, Kevin, you're going to be interested in this. Whoever does the overnights on K-Rock left.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's a given.
That person was gone, though. Isn't it?
I think you should wait till the next person comes to run the board.
Whatever kind of job you have, if you're running the booth at the Shell station, don't you wait till your replacement shows up before you just go home? Well, it's time for me to go. See ya. You don't just leave the thing empty, right?
What you're saying makes 100% sense.
Yeah.
But every time somebody is working here and we're supposed to come in, if it gets to be their time to go,
yeah,
they leave.
That's no way to run a life.
You might find this shocking. When I came in and no one was here, no sign of Chip, no coffee, no nothing, mm-hmm. the offices are locked and dark.
Right.
My immediate thought, they've been taken hostage somewhere. They're in the building with a shooter.
Your mind works exactly the same as Beans.
What do I do? So I set up my computer and waited for sweet, sweet death.
All right. Well, I'm not waiting for Chip anymore at this point. This is ridiculous.
We have to start doing things that just make us look like we've got our act together here because we're all looking just really, really, really sloppy.
It's true.
Does she park a mile away? How long does it take someone to walk out to their car?
Very little legs.
She does. It's 5,000 steps just to get to her car.
I think we have her. Hey, Chip.
Hey, I thought Wednesday was a holiday.
Chip.
We were afraid that Mr. Pickles had gotten the better of you.
He's tried.
Yeah.
He's tried.
And Bean used the word, what if Chip is a chew toy? And I think we had agreed on that.
How many minutes until Bean said I was dead?
You know what?
Immediately.
For whatever reason, I didn't think you were dead unless it was Mr. Pickles. That was the only thing that struck me as a real concern because, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, you were still asleep, of course, that you guys are about the same size and weight. So I felt like it was a fair fight. Mm-hmm. So I was rooting for you, Chip.
I mean, Kevin did start the show with R.I.P. Chip, so
I mean,
it was there.
That's the right thing to do.
Chip, how long have you been working on the Kevin and Bean show?
7 years?
Is this the first time you've ever overslept?
Yes.
I felt like it was.
You're fired.
You're going to have to light
Well, if you guys want, I could bring Mr. Pickles in with me.
You know, that's a great offer and all, but no.
I can put him in the, I mean, now it's like there's more traffic. I can put him in the carpool lane.
You know what?
Oh, there you go.
No.
There you go. Yeah, I think I'm with Kevin. I think you're fired.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, but
well,
you,
had a good run.
On the positive side, you get a little more rest.
Awesome.
Yeah, go back to
I
bed.
I love this. All right. Sweet. I'll see you guys later.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Well, although I joke about it, I'm very relieved that she's okay because one day it's going to happen and you guys
what
are going
to. What is wrong
one
with
day
you?
Chip will die, you guys.
Honestly, what's wrong with you? Why do you always take things so incredible? Bean is so relieved. That's absurd.
That's crazy.
What? I'm relieved that Chip's okay. What's wrong with that? That's the appropriate feeling.
No, it's not that you're relieved that she's okay. It's that you're so relieved that she's okay.
Yeah.
Like, there's something wrong there, Bean.
I just, look.
What?
Right?
No.
Well put.
You didn't say anything.
Look, I'm just saying, right?
I don't think you
are. No.
I'm just glad Chip's okay, so get on down here and let's get the show on the road.
All right. Thank you, Chip. See you in a minute.
No problem.
Or whenever.
/ 90 minutes.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I can't help feeling these ideas are uninspired. What else do you have?
I haven't even told you yet. We're going to talk to Matt Money Smith about the Lakers. As they
that
have
was a
made
bombshell,
what
huh?
happened yesterday?
Made a bit of a change.
They just fired everybody.
Yeah, they did.
And
is Magic going to be? Well, I guess we'll talk to Money about it.
Yeah,
I mean the guy's a super successful businessman. No one's going to run a business,
right?
Great talk show host.
Well,
agreed.
No, you
yes.
do not.
Oh, are you kidding?
Of course you do.
The best.
Okay,
Sam Richardson, one of our favorite people, coming in today.
Did you guys watch Detroiters?
Oh,
yep.
My God.
So great.
It's hysterical.
Right? I watched the first three episodes.
So good.
It's his
so
new
good.
Show on Comedy Central, Detroiters, mm-hmm. and he's coming in for that. He's also on our favorite show, Veep.
Mm-hmm.
So can't wait for that. The president of Iceland has suggested that perhaps pineapple be banned from being put on pizza.
That would
I
be his
support
wish.
Him.
That would be his wish. If he could just pass any law, that would be it.
Things are good in Iceland,
no kidding. No kidding. It's Wednesday, so we got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. And we have Sal Masekela in studio. Very excited about that. Vice World of Sports is back on Viceland Season 2. And that show is awesome. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. LANOC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock. It is 5:54 on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, man, it is.
what's happening right now?
That song always gives me an island groove.
I see. All right. That's the voice of our friend Ralph Garman here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning.
Had to reach for that one, did you?
That's the voice of our friend.
Don't tell me. What? Tip of my tongue.
Shoot.
I knew it yesterday. Carl. No, it's not Carl. Something.
Rafe.
That's it. Speaking of names, stop it. Just stop it.
Hey.
What does that mean?
Amber Tamblyn and her husband David Cross.
Yeah.
They welcomed their first child, a daughter, into the world this week.
But they did the right thing as celebrities and gave it a wacky name?
You have no idea.
Oh.
Son, no idea.
All right.
Here's the birth announcement. David and I are proud to announce the birth of our daughter, Dauphinois Petunia Brittany Scheherazade von Funkenstein Mustard Witch RBG Cross Tamblyn Bay Jr.
Oh, they're making a joke.
That is them being funny
as
hell.
That's them just mocking other celebrities with their baby names.
Or is it?
That's awesome.
There's no way.
Or is it?
Give it to me again.
Let's put money on it. I would bet it's a joke.
Dauphinois?
Yes.
Uh-huh. You know what Dauphinois is, by the way?
No, I don't.
It's a cheesy potato dish.
Oh,
okay.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
Potatoes Dauphinois.
Okay.
Dauphinois, Petunia, Brittany, Scheherazade von Funkenstein Mustard Witch RBG Cross Tamblyn Bay Jr.
I like it.
Hashtag the future is female.
Very catchy.
So, welcome.
I hope it's a joke because I want to take von Funkenstein.
Yeah.
I'd like that.
Good.
I hope it's real.
They're so funny.
Yeah.
That little baby could grow up to be Adolf Hitler.
Right.
Nope. Wow. That's not true.
Absolutely.
Although the baby did come out and say,
"You're dead to me."
So.
Why?
Not happy with the joke.
Yeah. Why? Really?
Did.
You're dead to me.
Why would the child say that?
Not happy with the name.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
This was a success.
Think that was a success for you, Kevin?
I heard that woman
Chip's
say
the one
it.
Who usually pulls the audio clips over there, right on that side? She's the one who comes up with those?
About half the time, yeah.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
I didn't realize how much I missed her until just now. Just this moment. Hey, are you like me? Well, I know Allie is. Are you just scared to death that all the technology out there is spying on you, listening to you, watching you? Right, Allie?
Ugh. Everywhere.
It's like that thing. What do they got in the house? The little disc thing, the Echo? Was that the Echo? The Amazon Echo or whatever?
Also the woman's name. What's her name?
Alexa.
Dauphinois?
Dauphinois. She's constantly listening.
They're listening to you all the time.
Yeah, I don't even trust my Roomba anymore.
And your Nest thermostat is watching you.
Who's on the other end of the Echo?
Exactly.
Who's listening?
Exactly.
They're listening all the time.
Exactly.
When you're not talking to it.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water.
Right?
They turn the friggin' frogs gay.
Yep.
That's real. Alex Jones said that, and people listen to him.
Of course they do. He's a smart man. The Vizio smart TVs, they were watching us, remember?
Yes.
Well, now this will creep you the F out. How about my friend Kayla? That's right, my friend Kayla.
Is it a doll?
It's a doll.
Okay.
It's the doll you can talk to like a real friend.
Oh, no.
Claim the manufacturers.
Oh, it's got artificial intelligence.
No, it has a Bluetooth device.
Oh, no.
Inside the doll. And now...
I love it. I'm going to start giving this as gifts.
That the Bluetooth device can easily be hacked inside the doll, meaning any creep can eavesdrop on your child and then speak to them through the doll.
Oh, my God.
That'd be awesome.
That's
German
terrifying.
German authorities who know a thing or two, because they make good things in Germany.
Right, sure.
German authorities are encouraging parents who own the doll to destroy it.
Wow.
That's how they roll. Meanwhile, the UK Toy Retailers Association believes there's no special risk or reason for alarms. There's a lot of different takes on this, but the Vivid Toy Group, which sounds completely manufactured, by the way.
I know some of their toys.
But their product is safe and not in their words, an espionage device.
Oh, my God.
Pay no attention to that espionage device in the doll, because that's not what it is.
That took a turn with end espionage.
It's because it's the end times. Daphne, Petunia, Brittany, Scheherazade, Von Funkenstein, Mustard Witch, RBG, Crust, Hamlin Bay Jr. I'm going to give you one of these dolls.
It's all fake news.
We got to vet our dolls better.
Right? We got to build that wall between us and doll land. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Kyle MacLachlan, 58 years old today. Cannot wait for the new Twin Peaks.
When is that?
Showtime, I think it's April.
April.
Showtime is... now rerunning the series.
Oh,
in
the original.
Big honking chunks. And it's just a rabbit hole for me. I come across it and I say, all right, well, better call Postmates. Order up some grub because I'm going to be on this couch for a long time.
Now you understand.
I was just
life.
Watching, was it last night? The night before, it was the Miss Tweaks pageant, the Miss Twin Peaks pageant they were putting together.
Mm.
And that's when the one-eyed, remember the one-eyed... The general's wife, whatever, she got super strength from her accident and then believed she was a teenager and went back to high school and she's like 50. Huh, come on, that show's the best.
I don't remember that, but it does make me want to watch it again.
Oh, so good.
When you see the promos for the new series with Kyle MacLachlan,
boom,
and I don't know how old he is, Ralph, you'll tell us, but has anyone aged better than Kyle MacLachlan?
Looks pretty good.
Yeah. Looks fantastic.
He's 58. And he's still yummy, right?
Right.
Thomas Jane, speaking of yummy, 48 years old today. James Blunt, this is all for the ladies today.
Right.
It's all for you ladies, 43 years old today. Drew Barrymore is 42. And our friend...
Nope.
Really?
Are you kidding?
Adorable.
What do you have against Drew Barrymore?
She's adorable.
Mm.
She's the best.
Oh, easy with the best.
She's well, the
why
best.
Do you make
it
me
easy.
Choose between mommy and daddy? You're both horrible.
She's wonderful.
She's cute.
She's cute.
The bell is not for
she's,
cute, by the
she's
way.
She's sexy, though.
Nope.
She's sexy.
She's not.
Why is she? How is Drew Barrymore not sexy?
I'm not sure how to answer that.
What don't she you like isn't. About her looks, Kevin?
She's just not sexy.
She's
super, cute.
Super pretty face.
I'll
good
go
figure.
With cute.
Great personality.
She's cute.
That's I'm correct. Standing by the bell.
I don't know. I got she's the best. On the
right.
Other side.
I mean,
now what
Drew
am I
Barrymore
supposed to do?
So much.
Well, she's
that's,
awful. Don't get me wrong.
So likeable.
Too much.
Oh,
no, she's
she
awful.
She is so likeable.
She can't act her way out of a wet tissue.
How dare
but
you?
Still.
How dare you? She is a treasure.
All right. See?
You're just pushing Ralph onto my side.
Chip had the right idea.
Sleep in?
Yeah. Dave and Christine, too. Whoever wasn't here this morning, they all had the right idea.
Well, that's almost everyone.
Yeah. Liza Schlesinger, our friend Liza Schlesinger. Hello?
You're not going to give her a bell?
I'm sorry, I missed it. Who are we talking about?
What? Comedian Liza Schlesinger.
Very much, 100%, yes.
And her little dog, Toto.
Blanche.
Oh, whatever. Blanche. She's 34 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I feel like when sports and announcing legend Sal Masekela comes in on the program, I feel like we're a little cooler, don't you? Like some of that rubs off on us somewhat?
No, I feel like people listen and go, wow, that guy's cool.
Really? Mm-hmm. You don't think we get any kind of reflected glory from Sal coming in?
No, I think people look at us and go, that's kind of, now they're kind of lame.
Yeah,
because
the opposite effect.
He's so good, I wish these guys were good.
That's very disappointing. Sal will be joining us next hour on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, it's Wednesday. That means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices and actor Sam Richardson from Veep and the new Comedy Central series Detroiters 2, which is great. That's all coming up this morning on K-Rock.
Floyd Mayweather fighting Conor McGregor.
I feel like I've been hearing about this since I was 5 years old.
Same. Same. There's been so much talk about it.
Floyd Mayweather's retired.
Yeah, but he comes back every once in a while to fight, it seems like.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And Conor McGregor, they've been talking about this for a long time, and they've both been sort of mouthing off. And then it sort of died. And then it was Mike Tyson who was saying that he was going to train one of the – was he – no, Mike Tyson. I'm sorry. Mike Tyson was talking about the celebrity.
Yeah,
the celebrity boxing. But they keep going to each camp and they keep talking about how, oh, it's going to happen. Then, oh, it's not going to happen. Oh, it's going to happen. Oh, it's not going to happen. But it might happen, but it's
well,
not going to happen.
Well, here's the latest on this. If this is a fight that you want to see, is boxing coach legend Freddie Roach, who, of course, you know, trained Manny Pacquiao for all those years and Julio Cesar Chavez and a bunch of others. He was on an MMA podcast this week, and he said that Floyd Mayweather personally told him that the fight is going to happen.
Personally.
Said it's going to happen.
So that's about as close to a confirmation as you're going to get. So we wanted to find out more details about that. It's time to welcome the great Freddie Roach back to the Kevin B. and Sean K-Rock. Hey, Mr. Roach, how are you?
Hey, Kevin B. How are you guys?
Very good. Thank you. We're doing fine. So I didn't misquote what you said on the podcast, right? You said that you spoke with Floyd Mayweather personally and that he said the fight is going to happen.
Well, Floyd said to me, if he reaches out and wants you to train him, I would take that job because I am going to fight him. And we could all make a lot of money.
Okay. Mm. All right. There you are. Now, wow. would you be interested in training Conor McGregor?
Absolutely, I would. Mm-hmm. Ever since Mike Tyson backed out, he wasn't going to train him anymore.
You were surprised about that, too, were you, Freddie?
I'm glad you guys have so much news.
I got that confused.
World. Really?
Yeah, just a bit.
I couldn't tell.
It was just a tiny confusion right there.
So... I guess the big question for you, Mr. Roach, would be Conor McGregor can box because he knows all disciplines because he's an MMA fighter, but it's certainly not
he's a great striker.
Right.
He hits hard. He isn't afraid to throw his hands. And, he's a good hitter. That's the truth.
But let me ask you about Mayweather because, to me, he just avoids fighting. He's purely defensive, and he just stays out of the way of damage.
Well, he's not purely defensive. He's great at not getting hit, but he also can hit pretty hard too, and he's knocked a lot of people down. So he's a great fighter. You can't take that away from him.
Right?
He's an asshole.
Everyone is. Important to you.
Things about a lot of people.
Right?
He's an asshole.
Right? Understood? Yes. Why does he want to come out of retirement? He can't possibly need the money. Why put a stain on your legacy when you've already won 50 fights in a row or something?
The only thing I've learned in my career in boxing is there's no such thing as having enough money.
Okay.
All right.
Everybody wants more money. Mm-hmm. And I think Floyd knows it'd be a great payday for everybody involved. And I think he just wants... If he's going to come out of retirement for a fight, he wants it to be worth his while. And this is a very sellable fight, and I think a lot of people would watch. Wouldn't you watch these two guys
get together? I don't think there's any way you don't buy that fight if it happens. I don't see how you pass on that.
That's why I'm now, instead of also training, I'm putting fights together, sellable fights, so that I can get a little of that money as well.
Oh, you're promoting this?
Yeah, I'm promoting it. I've got some other fights coming up, if you don't mind.
Okay.
Of course.
I got Louis Anderson versus Stephen Hawking.
Nope.
Coming up. That'll be in April. And Mariah Carey versus Betty White.
Oh, that's mean.
That's mean.
Coming up sometime this summer.
She's 95.
I'm so in on those.
And then Taylor Swift versus a kangaroo.
Okay, come on.
In the fall.
Yeah.
Betty.
Just because I want to see Taylor Swift get kicked in the face by a kangaroo.
All right. This just turned ugly.
She's an asshole. Right?
Come on.
She's
right?
An asshole.
Let go!
Right?
Let go!
Kevin, you're a nearly lifelong Lakers fan. What was your reaction yesterday when you heard that Magic Johnson was taken over as the team's president of basketball operations?
I don't know.
You don't know what your reaction was?
Honestly, I don't know. I don't know if he's going to be good in that position. Here's what I will tell you is that the Lakers, my entire life, have always been the team that will step up. They will bring in a superstar. They will build a team around them, and they will win championships. And they haven't done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Since Kobe left, they've done, to me, it seems like almost nothing.
Yeah. You have found out what it is like to be a fan of most franchises in basketball.
Yes, because I was spoiled by the Lakers' early success and all of the championships and everything else, but they just hadn't done that, I felt.
Allie, what did you think yesterday when you heard?
I thought, wow, Jeannie Buss is a boss. She just got rid of everyone.
She cleaned house.
It was Mitch Kupchak. It was their PR guy, John Black. Mm-hmm. It was her brother.
Her brother.
Yes. I mean, she was not joking around.
In that conversation,
right?
Well, the first person I thought of was our friend Matt Money Smith, co-host of the Petrus Money Radio Show on AM 570 LA Sports. This is a man who knows about as much about the Lakers as it is possible to know, and that's why we wanted to get Matt on today to get his initial reactions to the news. How are you, sir?
I'm well. I think most
Laker dumb feels the way the guy at the start of the segment feels. I mean, they're really excited about this, and I think it's probably more because of the subtraction, and certainly because of Magic. But you know, fans really had never liked Jim, even when he was in that position of power when they were winning championships. They still didn't like
him. How come, Matt?
I think they just felt like he wasn't qualified. Jim dug himself a huge hole, and he did an interview with Sporting News, I think, with the magazine, where he basically said, oh, scouting's not that tough. I mean, you know, these guys make these lists, and everybody pretty much has the same rankings, and whatever. It's not that hard. And Jerry West lost his mind.
Yeah.
And here's someone who is one of probably the 30, maybe 20, maybe 15 greatest players in the history of the NBA, and he's on these little puddle jumpers going to Ruston, Louisiana, to scout talent, to unearth those gems, you know, that he would find to help build the Lakers into a championship roster, and he slammed him immediately, and I think Laker fans never forgave him for that misstep.
What kind of meeting must there have been where Genie fired Jim?
Oh, I think he knew it was coming. I'm guessing that it was Magic, not Genie, because the two really haven't talked for a long time. They have been estranged, I guess, if that's the right word, as brother and sister.
Right.
Because the two departments were very separate. You know, Jeannie's the governor. She is, you know, when you ask the question, hey, if I keep going up the ladder, eventually I get to one person. Who's that one person? Well, it's Jeannie. Because every NBA franchise has to designate a governor who makes decisions singularly. So she always had the power to do this. It was just her dad's kind of dying wish that all of his kids be involved and that Jim be able to run that department, basketball operations.
Right.
So basically, yesterday was the culmination of the business operations, Jeannie Buss and Tim Harris, saying to basketball operations, John Black, Mitch Kupchak, Jim Buss, hey, we've got the power. You guys are out because we suck.
Now, Magic has had an incredibly successful business career for decades now, made hundreds of millions of dollars in his various businesses. Obviously, the guy's very smart, knows what he's doing. All of those skills seem very transferable, plus you've got the star power of a guy who knows basketball inside and out, and I imagine there are a lot of young players around this country who want to come work for a team that Magic Johnson is a part of.
Yeah, that's a question. I mean, I don't know the answer to that, Dean, to be honest. Just because if you look at the majority of front offices now, you know, you've got Larry Bird and Danny Ainge and John Paxson. I mean, there's a smattering of former players, right? Excuse me. But there are more MIT graduates, you know, Harvard graduates, math majors, analytics, you know, people that are schooled in game theory because of, you know, what's called the CBA, the Collective Bargaining Agreement, and the rules by which all these teams have to play when it comes to signing players and trading players. And we just saw the last 2 years, with Vlade Divac, someone with zero, you know, a sharp guy, a former player, the face to some degree of that Kings franchise and their success, and he has been humiliated by guys like Sam Hinkie from the Philadelphia 76ers, who's a Harvard guy. I mean, just humiliated when it comes to trades.
Vlade had a very bad week this week, didn't he?
Another bad week, yes. Another, you know, to go to the media and say, you know, we had better trade 2 days ago. What do you want me to do?
Why would he say that?
Well, exactly. So I think that's the one fear. But Magic is saying all the right things. Hey, I need to find someone smarter than me that knows the CBA, that understands the rules. You know, I can spot talent. And that may be the case, but there's a reason why Pat Riley is sitting at Pauley Pavilion, not when it's UCLA versus Arizona, but when it's UCLA versus Northridge. Because, you know, and that's the way Pat Riley's operated for the last 25 years as a general manager.
Gotcha. How much of Magic Johnson getting this job came from him just tweeting that he wanted it?
I think that's part of it, because the Lakers were certainly sensitive to that. When Magic, you know, would go after Mike Brown or go after Mike D'Antoni, go after these players, you know, they were, and that's honestly, that's why they hired Byron Scott. I really believe that, because they knew, you know, Kevin, you said, you know, that they haven't been good since Kobe left. Well, remember, Kobe just left last year. It was basically like he should have left 2 years ago.
Yeah, really, agreed.
You know, and that's why I think Magic was a big reason why they hired Byron Scott, because they knew that the couple years were going to be tough and at least Magic wouldn't be taking shots at him. So I do think that had something to do with it. But I think more than that, it really is the one person that Jeannie knew very, very well, because she's not involved in basketball ops, so she doesn't know assistant GMs or player personnel directors on the Thunder or the Wizards that are highly valued, but she knows Magic. And what better person to you know, come out in front of Laker fans and all of Los Angeles sports fans and deliver this news? Hey, there's a new sheriff in town, and I'm going to get it right.
Yeah, you know, right.
It it works really well when it's magic, because he did it with the Dodgers, and a lot of people immediately, I mean, just in a snap, forgot about Frank McCourt.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that because of the Dodgers and all the other business interests he has. Is this a full-time job for Magic? Does he how much time does he have to spare to do this work?
100%.
Really?
And that was the one thing, you know, I was a little negative about the whole thing, because I wasn't a fan of that statement where he said, well, you know, I'm invested 150%. I can get other people to run my businesses. And it's like, what businesses? Your business is being you. And shaking hands and tweeting out endorsements, because he sold his stake, and you said it, he's very successful. He sold his stake and all of his Starbucks for about 25, 30 million bucks a few years back. He sold all of his stakes and his Burger Kings that he had strewn about the South a few years back. I mean, really, his business has just been being Magic and giving speeches and doing the grin and grip and tweeting out that photo. So, you know, and Petros brought this up yesterday, it was a great point. He said, hey, man, just yesterday, Magic Johnson tweeted out, Pringles or Cheez-Its, Team Magic or Team Charles. You can't do that when you're a general manager of a team. That's just not the way these things work. And I
excuse me, if the president can tweet whatever he wants to tweet, Magic Johnson can tweet whatever he wants to tweet.
I'm going to think that's probably not the guy he wants to emulate.
All right.
Popularity,
all right, overall gut feeling. This is a good move. The Lakers are going to move in the right direction. Yes, no.
Yeah, I think so. I just think that the Mitch and Jim thing had not just run its course, but it had become so toxic with players, with their reputation, with agents, that there was very little reality they were going to land that big free agent. So I think now, at least, you feel like, okay, this is a better look. Instead of Mitch and Jim Buss walking into a meeting, it's Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka walking into a meeting, and Ryan West, Jerry's son, sitting down with these players. And you feel like that's going to go a hell of a lot better,
right?
Because they're going to need that. You know, they made a trade yesterday. They got rid of, arguably their best player, and that's what they need to do. And they won't come out and say it. They really need to lose games, because if they don't get a top three pick in this draft, and this is a really good draft, because we all know Lonzo Ball here in LA, and I'm sure they'd love to get him if they were to score the number one or number two pick. But if they don't get a pick in the top three, they not only lose this year's pick, but they automatically lose their first-round pick in 2019 as well.
Wow.
So, yeah. So that,
well, they're pretty good at losing games, though, Matt. I feel like they're on the right, well, going the right
Magic
direction.
Magic Johnson did a really good job of making sure they're going to get better. yesterday.
All right. Well, you're going to hear a lot more about this in the days and weeks to come on the Petros and Money Radio Show. It's the Lakers Station, don't you know, at AM 570 LA Sports. Matt, always a joy to have you on the program, man. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Anytime, guys. Always love it.
Remix.
Be back.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:53.
Hey, it's Wednesday, you guys.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Wheel of Bad Animal Voices coming up next.
Right?
Wheel of Bad Animal Voices coming up next. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Thank you, my brother. By the way, did you see the poster for Bean's new movie that I tweeted out this morning?
I did not, no.
Bean's my brother.
The Beansploitation poster?
The Beansploitation film. The new Beansploitation film. Bean's my brother.
I need it. Hold on.
It's reminiscent of the Blaxploitation films of the 70s.
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah. Bean's my brother. Coming to a theater near you. Is your name Edmund Fitzgerald? Because you're about to get wrecked. The slug line for the poster.
He hits crime like a drummer hits skins.
That's right.
Thanks so much for coming in, my brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Bean's my brother.
My brother.
You're the best. Hey, it's good news for our friend Caitlin Olson. Her new Fox series, The Mick, has been picked up already for a second season.
Love that.
Love that show. Very funny. Caitlin is hilarious and adorable on it, so glad to see that. Speaking of getting picked up, this was something else. It was announced yesterday by NBC. Well, I'm going to say something, Kevin. See if you can fill in the blank.
Okay.
Here we go. Like sand through an hourglass, so
are the days of our lives.
What happened?
This was a success.
How did Kevin know that?
Oh, no.
How did that happen?
Kevin doesn't know things.
Thank you. This
Very
was a success.
How did that happen?
No. Look, I can't explain why my brain works at times and doesn't at others.
Wow.
Just
But some things just get stuck up there.
Just let me be great.
Okay.
That's all I'm asking.
Well, that's what we'll do. We'll sit back and let you be great. Yeah.
It's from the Jay-Z song. I don't remember which one.
The legendary Days of Our Lives soap opera was renewed yesterday for its 52nd season.
Wow.
Wow.
52 years on the air.
And isn't it one of only two or three soap operas that still remain on broadcast television?
Yeah. I don't know what's left. General Hospital, is that still on?
I don't know.
Boy, I just don't know anymore.
I don't know either.
But, there used to be 15 of them on at one time.
Oh, yeah, it was big business. But
that's crazy.
When reality shows became a thing, I think soap operas sort of paled in comparison. Because people are like, I can watch real effed up people screw up their lives. Or I can watch you actors pretending to be so. I don't think so. So we'll wait and see what happens. But yeah, I thought that was impressive. 52
that
years on the televisions. Not too shabby. This is exciting news for me personally. WGN Network has announced they're going to make a movie about the life of Jack Daniel. Yeah, boy. Come on, people, now. No excitement for the story of the life of Jack Daniel?
I mean, I don't know much about it.
Was he the Tennessee whiskey maker?
Was
is that
he?
Who we're talking about here?
Was he? Who else is there?
Well, I didn't know.
It's just him.
All right.
Started off as a Civil War era moonshiner, and then went on to build the world's biggest whiskey empire. They're in Lynchburg, Tennessee. Come on!
All right.
I mean, I don't.
The movie's called Blood and Whiskey.
Oh.
The Life and Times of Jack Daniel.
Give him the breathalyzer!
I don't know anything about his life, so I don't know how dramatic his story is, but there may be something there.
Oh,
I'm just saying there are some businesses that are just a guy has a good idea and works real hard and makes a business. That's not a movie.
Well, this involves
the title
whiskey
of the film's
and
called
blood
and whiskey. Do you think it's going to be just a guy getting a loan? Then sitting down there and drawing up some blueprints? Oh, I can't wait. You're in a bag in the desert.
I'm not going to be.
You're going to be
in a bag in the desert.
That's what your future is.
I want to see that poster as well.
That's not my future.
That beats my brother, too. He's in a bag in the desert.
How do I get to the desert, and why am I in a bag?
You'll see. And I thought this was a very clever idea. You know, a lot of celebrities bitch and moan, boo-hoo-hoo, I don't want to have my songs used for commercials, blah, blah, blah.
Right. There was a time when that was frowned on by almost everyone.
Yeah, they were too good for it.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of socially active and socially aware artists are particularly against it because they feel it lessens their art. Well, there's a singer-songwriter named Grace Slick. You may know her. Was pretty much a superstar in the 60s and 70s. But she was in that band, Jefferson Airplane, which later became Jefferson Starship. And they got a request for a TV commercial for Chick-fil-A to use their song, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. You know that song, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now?
We can build this thing together, standing strong forever. Nothing's gonna stop us now.
So she's very socially active, and initially, when they came to her, she said no, because Chick-fil-A famously is a big funder of anti-gay causes.
Oh, interesting.
They like to put down the pink man. And so what?
Is that a saying?
I've never heard of the pink man.
Okay.
And she initially said, no, I don't want to give them money. Anything that's going to help them raise their sales will increase the amount of money they donate towards anti-gay causes.
Right.
And then, ching, the light went off. Actually, that was a cash register. Bink! There, the light went off. And she said, wait a minute, I'm going to, not F no, F yes. And she did sell them the song at a pretty good rate. And she says she's taking all the money she's making from that commercial, and she is going to donate it to a group called Lambda Legal, which is the largest legal defense fund for LGBTQ causes in the country. So what she's doing is taking Chick-fil-A's money.
All right.
They're paying her for her song, and there she's using it to benefit the cause of people in the LGBTQ community. So that's how you do it.
Interesting.
Use your brains, people. Don't stamp your feet. Money talks.
You can't say the rest of that one.
Yeah, I can't. I know. It's like, how do I close that? I don't know. Anyway, I thought that was clever, and that's the way it should be. Everybody should be able to fund whatever causes they want. But if you want to be creative about it, you can find a way to do what you think is the right thing. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kyle MacLachlan is 58 years old today. Thomas Jane turns 48. James Blunt turns 43. Drew Barrymore is 42 years old. And our pal, Liza Schlesinger, very, very funny lady. She is 34 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sal Masichella joins us in studio coming up next here on K-Rock in about 15 minutes or so. Kevin, you love his show, right?
Yes. Vice World of Sports. So good.
Yeah, looking forward to that. And actor Sam Richardson next hour as well. Excited about that. Ralph, I'm glad to see you in here because I know you're a big fan of this feature. And I know you're in here to enjoy it along with the rest of us because it's Wednesday and that means it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Yes. All right, let's go through the wheel. Here are the stories that are on the wheel, and then we'll spin the wheel, and then we'll talk to somebody from the story. The Trumpagator, the orange gator spotted in South Carolina pond.
It's going on.
That doesn't sound so good.
I can't wait to hear Kevin read some more things.
The Flock Stars, the all-star chicken band, that is awesome.
Okay, now that's been on the wheel for like 3 weeks now. Can it please land on that so we can find out what kind of music those chickens are making?
And isn't that objective, really, that they're awesome? I mean, how do we know they're awesome?
Well, because
the
story get on the phone,
says,
we can find
we'll
out.
Find
they're
out,
awesome.
Yeah.
Joey the squirrel that goes nuts on a burglar.
Joey's the hero we need.
The drunk hedgehog with a yogurt cup on his head.
I wouldn't mind talking to a drunk hedgehog today. How about you, Ralph?
Bao Bao, the panda going home to China.
Oh, that's a big story. A big story in the news, yeah.
Is it a big story,
Alex? Huge. Everyone's talking about it.
Everybody's talking about it.
Everyone's like, oh, Bao Bao.
There could be two bags in the desert, Allie. You know, there could be more than one bag in the desert.
I'm not following.
The notorious potbelly pig named Piggy Smalls.
Piggy Smalls is the illest. We need it so bad.
Come on, Piggy.
We don't need it.
Annoying elephant chasing tourists at Kruger National Park. So those are the stories on the wheel.
He's annoying, so that's why he's
He's an annoyed elephant.
Because he's a little annoyed?
Yes, he's annoyed.
God, you people are the worst.
Let's do it.
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Don't know.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time
because I've been Team Piggy Smalls also, but that drunk hedgehog sounds like a lot of fun. Mm.
And it landed on Bao Bao, the panda going home to China.
Yeah! Big story.
That's a big story.
See? I heard it from a lady that it was a big story.
Right, I heard that as well.
All right, so here's the deal with pandas. A lot of people don't know this. When you go to the San Diego Zoo or you're traveling around the country, you go to the National Zoo in Washington, and you see a panda. We don't own those pandas. Those pandas are on loan from China most of the time, and we're part of the breeding program. So they come to America for a few years, and they breed, and then they send them back to China.
Oh.
And that's just the deal. You know when you get them, you're going to lose them. So in this case, Bao Bao has been at the zoo for, I think he's about 3.5 years old or so. And Tuesday, they packed him up on a FedEx Panda Express plane with a keeper and a veterinarian and flew him back to China. Not back to China, flew him to China. He was born in America. Now he's living in China. And that's where he's going to be for the rest of his days, which is kind of it must be a bizarre change for him, I would think, right?
You think he knows?
Right. So you think the language is going to be difficult?
I'm not sure. But we asked Dave if we could talk to perhaps one of his keepers or handlers or something like that in China, and I believe we have China on the line right now. Hello there. Who's this, please?
Hey, how's it going?
It's going fine. This is Kevin and Bean calling from America. We're looking for somebody
to
talk to.
America! Right? I miss you guys so much.
Oh, are you from here also?
Yeah, I'm from here. I'm from there. I'm not from here. I'm from there.
Right.
So you're familiar with Bao Bao the panda?
Dude, I am totally Bao Bao.
Oh, I didn't realize
you're
that.
Bao Bao.
Bao Bao Chica. That's me.
Cool.
Bao,
so Bao
Bao Chica.
Right. How was your flight? Your 16-hour flight to China?
Dude, it totes sucked.
Really?
What the hell's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on?
Why did they send me to this place?
Well, I mean, I think China owns all pandas, so basically it's just it's set up where we get them for a certain amount of time.
Dude,
then you have to go back.
I'm like a creature of nature. How could someone own me?
Well, I just
think I belong to, like, God or the universe or something?
Wow, you got a lot of deep thoughts for a bear.
Well, I got a lot of time. I sit around just eating, not boning.
Right. So China, I think all the pandas
Holy God, is this zoo loud?
It's
very loud.
It's a very loud Chinese zoo I'm at.
Wow,
tell that lion to shut the F up.
Wow, laying down the law.
God, I hate this place.
So is it very different from being at the National Zoo, being at the zoos there in China?
Yes.
What are some of the differences?
Well, it's freaking China.
Right.
Okay. One, hey, you know what? No Twitter at all.
Oh, I'm kidding.
Locked.
Oh, that sucks.
Did I go back in time? Are these people Neanderthals? No, well, Twitter. How can they be so evil?
I think the government there likes to keep tabs on what its citizens see and say is what's going on there.
Oh, this place is the worst.
Oh, I'm so sorry about that.
What?
Well, hold on. Oh, stop talking to me, lady. I don't understand you.
Oh, no.
She's trying to be nice.
Oh, zookeeper. She's coming up saying stuff. Oh, look. Wax on, wax off, all right? I don't know, Bruce Lee. I don't know what you want from me.
Baba, I think you're going to have to just kind of settle in for the long haul.
Turn the lions back?
I'm concerned with how close the lions are.
I'm ready to jump into the mouth of one of the lions, quite frankly.
You sound like you're in danger right now.
No Twitter, and I've got Panda Express
right
screaming at me. Eat more egg rolls. I don't know what's happening here, but it's starting to cheese me off.
Well, you're going to have to get used to it because it's a one-way trip.
Yeah, you live there now.
You live there now. That's your home.
Well, thanks a lot, Doom and Gloom. You guys are the best. Thanks for all the good news.
I mean, that was the case whether we told you or not. No one told you?
No. I thought I'd, just booked a bad trip or something.
I'm sorry, Bao Bao.
I won a bad prize on a game show or something.
Yeah, well, that's not the case, but I hope you end up loving it there.
Hey, Bao Bao, that's not the case.
Oh, it's not the case.
Yeah, you didn't win this on the game show.
Ah, I got you. It's called yes and. You add something in the improvisation. Bao Bao. Chicka-chicka.
Always a lot of fun to catch up with our next guest, the voice and face of action sports for all those years, Olympic broadcasts, and so much more. Executive producer and host of Vice World of Sports, musician. Just you can do it all, ladies and gentlemen. And what a beard, right, Allie? Sal Mascella joins us in studio here on Carol. Hey, Sal!
I never get a better intro anywhere on the planet than here.
Sal sat down, and Allie said, your beard is magic.
It's very, it came in wonderfully, first of all.
Thank you.
It's trimmed beautifully, but obviously you're taking care of it. There's some oil, so it's got honestly almost like a glittery shine.
Wow. Thank you. I washed, conditioned it this morning.
Looks great.
Wow. Applied said oils.
Okay.
You know, there's something that happens as you get older as a man, and in my case, the hair that I can no longer grow on my head. I used to have luxuriant dreads.
You did?
You were very famous for a long time. Yeah.
Very luxurious. They were my thing. I think I got paid strictly for them. No one was listening to what I was saying. And I couldn't grow a full beard. I had a little splotchy.
Is that right?
Yeah, if I ever tried to grow it in full, it looked like, oh, that poor child, he should just shave.
And now look at you, you're like Wolverine now.
Yeah. And then I cut my dreads because I was beginning to see some a recession, as you would, upstairs. And I said, let me just fully commit because you don't want to be the guy with broken dreads. And then it was like the universe was like, you know what, for your humility. We will.
Your beard is going to be magnificent.
Reward you with the most manly beard that you can ask for.
Nailed it.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
So I think the last time we had you in might have been talking about the Vice World of Sports season one, which showed you telling some wonderful stories around the world, and you must have been really excited about the possibilities of season two, right?
Yeah, you know. Television is you can make a great show and you can get really excited about it and then your phone never rings again. Get just how it goes. And with our show, we were very excited. We felt like we'd made something great, but you don't know if you've just been watching and editing for too long. And the way audiences responded to season one was incredible. We also had the run of having this partnership with ESPN where they ran season one on ESPN2 after it ran on Viceland. So it really got out there. And it's been great. We won a
Producers Guild Award.
Come on now. All right.
And that's a real thing?
Best documentary sports show. Yes, it's a very very real thing.
Sure.
There's not an alternative fact anywhere near that.
All right.
In fact, we split the award with Real Sports and HBO with Brian Gumbel.
All right.
In their 23rd season.
Right.
Wow. We, in our rookie season, we were also up against E60 and Hard Knocks and Jim Lampley. So for me, it was like, When we decided to make this show, I said, I want to make a show that can be mentioned in the same conversation as Real Sports, because obviously that's the benchmark for documentary sports in America. And, you know, I was happier that we split the win than we did winning it outright, because then it really put us in that conversation.
Well, congratulations.
Really excited for season 2.
Tell us how you picked the subjects for season 1, because I watched every episode. I was so upset when they stopped airing. I was like, come on, what are you guys slacking? This is such a great show. And I started looking, and it had already run all the episodes.
Well, what we did is we took a flat Earth globe, and we spun it sideways. No, we just really looked for stories that were interesting, that went beyond sort of the score or the sport.
Right.
You know, I think we talked about the last time we were here. Viceroyal Sports is a show where it's just a lens into culture and people and places, as opposed to sports per se. So you don't have to be a sports fan to watch the show.
You don't have to be a sports fan to watch the show. And also, if you watch all sports, this is different.
Yes.
This is different than all other sports shows.
It really is. I have a friend who watched, we have the 3 episodes that are up on YouTube, and he was like, he doesn't care for sports. He's like, you couldn't pay me to watch three hours of anything with sports.
Why are you friends with this dude, Sal?
you know, you need some people who think in opposite directions to challenge you, and he was able to watch it. And he called me up asking all these questions about, you know, the show we did in South Dakota on the reservation with the Lakota Sioux people. And, you know, he wanted to know about Ghana. And he's like, I learned about these places, and it happened to be with these sports.
Right. It's not about sports. It's about people. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, our premiere episode tonight is about Pop Warner football in Miami. And not the South Beach that everybody knows, but literally like 7 miles off of the beach is a much different type of environment of disenfranchised people looking for opportunity, which you find across America in different places. It doesn't matter what color, you know, everyone's sort of going through it. And this story on paper, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to watch, you know, kids watch playing pop football.
Right.
And instead, you're watching kids who are fighting for their lives to come of age and become men and have a chance at their life. Through this game.
How do you find these stories? How did you find this one? How did it stick out above all the other sports stories that could be covered?
Well, it's interesting. The NFL, like, you think of the hotbeds of football, right? And people are always talking about Texas. Oh, Friday night, lights, Texas, it's great. And, you know,
I like your Texas accent.
Thank you.
It's very good.
My apologies to Texas. I'll be there soon.
It's like Coach Taylor is in the room with us.
And, you know, and obviously California and the Northwest, you know, we've got the weather. But they're big places, and they produce lots of football players. But Miami, especially these little small pockets that are very, very, very small in comparison, produce more NFL players per capita than either of those places.
Wow, that's crazy.
And so you have to find out why. You have these names like T.Y. Hilton and Devontae Freeman and, you know, legends like Willis McGahee and a long, long list of players that come from this region. You're like, what's going on there?
Why is that producing such great athletes?
Why is all this great talent coming from the Julio Jones? And you go and you look a little deeper, and it's shocking.
It's shocking because you find out the reason they're all coming from there is because of the miso horny guy.
Exactly.
Dr. Luke.
Exactly.
Is that what do they call him?
Yeah, Dr. Luke. It's
Luther Campbell is down there, and he's essentially running this program.
Yeah. Well, Dr. Luke, basically about 25 years ago, he was always a huge football fan. He decided, you know what, I'm going to make a difference. And he founded this Optimus Sports Club. And built this Papa One organization to give opportunity to kids in, that are disenfranchised in disenfranchised neighborhoods who aren't getting that funding and don't have those opportunities where the community is able to financially galvanize around the kids and give them an opportunity. And that's why these kids who play from a very young age, I mean, they have teams that are literally called the Diaper Boys.
No.
Yeah, three to 4 years old is where they start.
They call them the Diaper Boys. 4 years old, they're playing football.
They're playing football.
No.
Does that make you nervous, Ellie?
It's totally.
But the Diaper Boys are 4 to 6 and also 96 to 98.
Yeah, so it's balanced, Ellie. But I watch, you know, the intensity of the football and the community that comes out for, you know, the 75-pounders, 115, like little kid football. I've never seen anything.
It's a crazy passion that just overtakes everything.
It's a crazy passion, and it's also a look at America. There are times, I think we talked about it last time when I was on the reservation in South Dakota in Pine Ridge. It was one of those moments where I'm like, am I really in America right now? Because the basic things that I take for granted every day, I'm not seeing around me.
Right. Yeah.
And you drive literally 7-8 miles off of South Beach, which has all of the most magnificent, you know, opulence and money and hotels and showiness. And you're literally going like, there's not even a 7-Eleven here. Like, yeah. To say that people are struggling would be an understatement. And the loss of life.
Well, your police ride along in that episode one is eye opening.
Yeah, and we didn't even show you the half because we didn't have the time. I did a 3-hour ride along.
All right, well, hold it right there, Sal, because we got to take a quick break. Sal Mascella is here. The show is called The Vice World of Sports. Season 2 premieres tonight at 10:30 on Viceland. Look for it on your cable or satellite. It's a terrific show, and you can also find them up online. And we got a bunch more questions for Sal when we return right after this on K-Rock. Our friend, the legendary Sal Mascella, in studio with us here on The Kevin and Bean Show, and we're going to get right back to talking about his Vice World of Sports Episode 1 tonight on Viceland. But before I do, in a few minutes, Sal, we're going to be having a conversation about the very controversial statement that the president of Iceland made, that if he could pass a law, he would not allow pineapple on pizza. And I would like you to weigh in on whether he's right or wrong about that.
My girlfriend's allergic to pineapple.
Mm-hmm.
So in our house, that would yeah.
Okay, right, but what if you're traveling? What if you're traveling, right. You're on the road, she's nowhere around, you can't order anything. Would you ever get pineapple on your pizza, or is it abhorrent to you?
As a kid, the Hawaiian.
Ah. Yeah, the Hawaiian mm-hmm. pizza, right.
Was my jam. I always looked at it like a like a combo of the meal, and there's zero transition into dessert. We're having this. Everyone's partying on the same dance floor.
Right.
With the ham and the pineapple.
Agreed.
And that bite when they all get together and then the tomato sauce shows up. You're like, wait a minute.
This is so much better than I ever imagined.
Who invited you? But hey. Jump on in this bed.
I'm going to put you as you're down for this.
I'm totally down. It's okay. It's okay. Like a cool swinger party of food all on the same piece of bread.
If you'd have heard the reaction in the room yesterday when this story came out, it was like we were talking about eating vomit. I mean, you couldn't believe how violently opposed the other room is to pineapple on pizza.
Wow.
Yeah. Wrong, I don't know. In New York, it was like a cool thing to do. To all get right. The Hawaiian.
Hmm. Sal was starting to tell us about episode 1 tonight of season 2 on Viceland of the Vice World of Sports. You went to a very small area. It was like 5 square miles or something like that near Miami, where they produce more NFL players than any other patch of land in America. And it's a fascinating story why. And weren't the kids there, if I remember correctly from the show, Sal, they get recruited for college or for the NFL in 8th grade? Crazy, right?
By the time they're 13, the colleges are there and are beginning to make their hard choices.
That's crazy.
Isn't that something else? Because, look, you're an athlete, Sal. Can you
athletic.
How much can you tell about a kid when he's 10, 11 years old, 12 years old, compared to what he's going to develop into as he grows bigger and stronger and faster as an older person?
In the sports that I cover, it's interesting. I can see at about 9 or 10 years old if a kid has it in skateboarding or snowboarding and surfing.
Really?
Yeah. There's just something about the way they move through the fundamentals where they're not thinking. And they're just working on...
It's a natural thing.
It's a natural thing, and they're just working on adding on and adding on. And I think now that, especially since kids have all the historical documents of what can be done. You know, they can study YouTube. Their bar for what's possible is so much different in their mind's eye. It's not only happened, but they've been able to go back and see it, and they work from that place. And
right.
So I think that it's making us have such weird, freakish athletes at a young level, because the fundamentals, they've got fundamentals at like 8, 9 years old that grown men and women don't have. But yeah, you can see something for sure. And we saw it there in Miami. You know, you saw these kids that they look like they were playing at an NFL level in their knowledge of the game and the intricacy of the game and the style that they're playing.
There was one quote that really stood out to me, and I can't remember. It was one of the parents, I think, who said something like, paraphrasing now, if you don't get out with music, you get out with football, and those are the only two choices. Do you think that's healthy, that that's kind of what they're saying about these kids? Don't you think there are a lot of other opportunities for them that they're ignoring because they're focusing just so much on those two?
Or are there?
I think that from probably our very comfortable suburban perspective of what our options are, that sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. I think that if you spent 2 or 3 days in Liberty City, I don't know if you'd last that long. And I think that you'd see, wow, perhaps these are the only options.
But there are such long shots for anybody, no matter how lucky you get or how talented you are. Making it in music or professional sports is a very difficult thing to go for.
Absolutely. But if you've seen as many kids from your and people from your neighborhood do so,
Yeah, they have the benefit of seeing people they knew grew up there. They watch mm-hmm. them on TV yeah. on Sundays.
And those kids, those guys are coming back to town. And, you know, the Devontae Freemans, they're coming back. And they're showing people that it's possible. Now, is it the only quote-unquote option? No. But it's an actual, like, viable one that is probably the most realistic that they can see in comparison to perhaps a college education or vocational opportunities that just don't exist.
Right.
I mean, they were talking about a place where, you know, I think you see in the show, you know, Luther Campbell talks about this Dunkin' Donuts that got built, and that's the biggest deal in this little town, except you can't go inside to get your donuts. You know, there's a big thick piece of glass like a crazy bank that had millions of dollars where you're trading your money for donuts. But when they built that was considered a success.
Wow.
And you just don't think of that in America in 2017.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You've interviewed thousands of people in your long career, Sal. Does anything prepare you for doing an interview like you had to do on this episode with a family who had an 8-year-old kid that was shot in a drive-by?
No. That's the hardest thing that I've ever done in my life. And when you sit across from two incredibly passionate, loving parents and they talk about the child that was taken away from them and they describe to you play by play what happened, no. I've never been in an interview before where I wasn't able to just to be indifferent in that, you know.
Objective,
not mm-hmm. indifferent, but objective, and I lost it.
That was tough. That was tough to watch. I mean, that makes great TV though, because you really get us inside a story that we never would have seen otherwise.
And they were inspiring. I mean, these are parents that still go to every single game, you know, and they're cheering on the kids, and they make all the gear for the family, and they're really doing a lot within the community and local government to say, hey, this has to stop. And the week that I spent there, of course, you know, you just take away a lot of appreciation, and you marvel at what people are capable of.
Sal Masekela is here. The Vice World of Sports is back tonight. We've been talking about the Boom Squad. That's the episode that airs tonight.
Mm-hmm.
What other sports have you picked out for this season? Season two.
We have some soccer.
Yes.
We have some more football.
You're really selling itself.
No, we have soccer in Argentina, basketball in Lebanon. We have football in Montana, where we take a look at a community that has really, really struggled economically. And two high schools that are arch rivals are forced to fuse their football teams together to make one.
Wow, because they don't have the money?
Because
or
they don't have the resources.
Wow.
Or enough players to field their teams.
Oh, I bet those kids love that.
It's sounds difficult.
It's a special one. That's how we round out the season two.
Well, how many episodes are there? Because they're not enough, however many there are. How many have you done?
Nine.
Nine.
Another nine.
Get with it.
And
come
if you
man.
Listen, if you love the show, if you see the show, if you love the show, call Viceland.
That helps?
Yeah, it does. Call that number that they throw up there. It helps. Ask for Shane Smith specifically.
Oh, all
right. Will he get on the phone?
Yeah.
Why are you calling me?
Sound bonus too.
I know he's good, and this show's great, and they have the most incredible crew, but I know.
No, he's great. Shane, I'm not mocking you. I'm loving
all
you.
Right.
But yeah, call.
Support the show, because the show is worth it, you guys. And Soundclaims, it won a Producers Guild of America award,
yes,
so it
check
must be
that.
Good.
Check that.
And you wanted to say one more thing?
What did I want to say? Oh, the Boom Squad will be available all season for free on the YouTube after it premieres tonight.
So it's on tonight at 10:30 on Viceland, yes. And then it's on YouTube.
And then we'll have it on YouTube. And I have to give a musical plug,
sure,
because we're going to put out my second album, Alakazam album, Soundproof Heart, comes out this summer, and I'm very excited about it.
Well, congratulations, Sal.
You're
making the rest of us look bad, because there's nothing you can't do well, my friend.
You know what? I'm not great at anything. But my stone will read, he was decent at a lot of stuff.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. LA and OC's Alternative Rock. This is the world-famous K-Rock at 7:53.
Just after 9 a.m. this morning, we give you another chance at AFI. We got tickets for you to see them live this Monday at the HD Radio Soundspace here at K-Rock, and qualify to see them again in Glasgow, Scotland. It's Wheels Up 2017, destination number 4 from the world-famous K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. Rob is here now. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Fight, 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 fight.
Who's fighting?
Nobody.
Oh, you just want to fight?
But Ronda Rousey's in the news.
Oh. Uh-oh.
When I think of her, I think of fighting.
Sure.
She is going to be guest starring in an upcoming episode of NBC's Blind Spot. Anybody watching Blind Spot?
I do not. Just recently went back and am catching up.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I've heard it's pretty good.
Tattoo on her?
Yes.
Okay.
Girl,
no. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Up with amnesia and she's got tattoos all over.
Yep. It's good.
I was interested, but I just couldn't make time in my busy TV schedule, sadly, for that show. But
same. I'm still behind, but it's good. It's worth watching.
Variety reports she will guest star as a female prison inmate who grew up in a working-class family in New Hampshire, and she's serving time for transporting weapons across state lines. Oh, she fights somebody in the Huskow, in the big house, in the Gray Bar Hotel.
She's
Holly Holm to come in as another guest star. Boom! Fighting in the shower. Nude.
What? I was waiting for it.
She's done with the UFC, right?
Show in my head.
Right, guys?
I would guess she's done with the UFC. Yeah. I don't know.
I think she should be. If she isn't.
I would guess.
She's already signed up for a couple movies.
Yeah, it seems like she has so many other options that
she's
going to
be
point.
Working with Tina Fey in a new comedy called Do Nothing Bitches. She's going to be in that film. And she's also going to be in the, I can't support this, but I will report it. The remake of Roadhouse. She's going to be in the remake of Roadhouse.
Oh, pain don't hurt.
She's going to be a bouncer in that. How do you remake Roadhouse? Just leave some things alone. Let them be as God intended.
Ralph, they're not erasing the original.
But they're going to put their taint all over it.
Ew.
Gross. Was taint the word that you wanted there?
Yes.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Or was it awesome? Was it unfortunate or was it brilliant? What do you think now?
I'm gonna say thumbs up.
Thank you.
Yeah,
because taint has one connotation,
right?
Or connotation, and and then something can be tainted,
right?
So they're gonna put their taint all over it,
right?
So it's got all
it's got everything.
It's like an artichoke.
Great idea or best idea?
To pull back the spiny leaves to get to the heart of that joke. You don't know, man.
This was a success.
Speaking of fighting, Karrueche Tran is apparently done with Chris Brown. She would like him to keep his distance.
What a surprise.
Well, look, she's so picky. She went into court. She talked to a judge. All Chris Brown did, reportedly, was punch her in the stomach on two separate occasions during their relationship. Push her down a flight of stairs. And then told more than a few people he was going to kill her after they broke up.
He should be put in the electric chair.
It's the first time I've ever agreed.
I hate to side with him, but...
Can you believe this piece of garbage?
He's a terrible human being.
Terrible human being.
I hate to side with Rodney, but I think he sided with Kevin when he said that.
That was odd.
We all agree. And this is going to surprise you. I know it surprised me. Lorraine Bracco, very lovely and talented actress. You know her, of course, as Tony Soprano's psychologist on The Sopranos.
Yep.
And maybe before that as Ray Liotta's wife in the movie Goodfellas. She had never seen Goodfellas until last summer.
Is that right?
How is that possible? She said she never saw the film because she was doing interviews at the premiere. So she never sat at it then, and she just never got around to watching it.
She just moved on to
other things. So.
That's so weird.
That is so weird. She finally saw it for the first time at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery this summer with 4,000 fans, and she said she loved it.
Allie, what'd you think of it?
I love that movie.
You've never seen Goodfellas?
I've seen that, yeah.
Oh,
go get your shine box.
All right.
Calm down. Get off my ass.
But still no Godfather.
You haven't seen The Godfather. Why would I mean, be surprised you hadn't seen Goodfellas?
Listen, Goodfellas was more recent. Godfather, like, there's no way to see it. It's just, it's
that's true.
Nowhere.
It doesn't exist anymore.
I don't think that's true. I think there's some cave drawings of it you can still see.
I am so surprised, Ralph, how often I see actors and actresses say that they don't watch or have never seen their work that they've done.
Well, look, some choose not to.
Right.
It's an issue. It doesn't sound like Lorraine Bracco has a problem with watching her work. It just seems like somehow it just got past her.
Just never got around to it.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
We have had musical artists that sit in here, and we play their intro, their music, you know, put together, and they'll take their headphones off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's odd to me, but I guess they've just heard it enough.
And lastly, there's a new show being made. I think we need to, we have to put a stop to this. Jason Ritter is going to star in a new sitcom about a down-on-his-luck man who is tasked by God with a mission to save the world. The show is called The Gospel of Kevin.
Right?
We can't have a man named Kevin
how dare
being
you?
Asked by God to save the world. We just, that cannot stand.
Nope.
We have to change that somehow. We have to alter it. The Gospel of Rodney or something. We need to change the title because it's just unbelievable that God would ask a guy named Kevin to save the world.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Remember this.
God wanted me to mention especially that he has appointed Kevin as his only true voice in California.
I'm sorry.
Whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa. Stop right there.
What was that?
Yes! No!
Yes!
No. Kevin is not speaking for God in California.
I am the only voice of God in Southern California.
I say everybody else has failed him. And
that's right.
Kevin
hear.
Can't speak for Kevin. He can't speak
how
for
dare
any
you?
Of us.
How dare you insult
for God?
How dare you insult God's mouthpiece?
Jeez. I forgot about that.
We're all together on that, right?
Yeah.
Back to you.
A lot of silence. Today's celebrity birthday is Kyle MacLachlan's 58 years old today. Thomas Jane turns 48. James Blunt is 43. Drew Barrymore, 42 years old today. And our good friend Eliza Schlesinger celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Actor Sam Richardson joins us in studio in about 50 minutes or so here on KREK. He's one of our favorite actors on Veep, and now he has a wonderful new show on Comedy Central called Detroiters that we cannot wait to talk about with Sam. That's coming up on KREK. First, though, you know, we brought this up with our guest Sal Mascella last hour, and he was all in on pineapple on pizza, and he's right.
Agreed.
He's right. Allie, you're with us, right? Pineapple on pizza is the way to go.
Not
it's
really.
Great.
No. I'm good with a no.
You're wrong, but
okay.
it's back in the news right now because the new president of Iceland, he, by the way, is 48 years old. He was just elected in August of last year, and he is phenomenally popular. He has a 97% approval rating after 6 months on the job in Iceland right now.
Wow.
Same here. He's speaking
very similar.
He's speaking to a school, and he was asked where he stands on pineapple on pizza. And he was not being a politician when he answered. He didn't try to appease both sides and say, well, you can have it or not have it. They're both fine. He came out and said that he was fundamentally opposed to it and he would legislate against it if he could.
It would make it illegal.
You'd make it illegal
to have pineapple on pizza.
So then we talked about this in the office, and a screaming match broke out as Bean and I were the only right-thinking Americans saying that it's fine, and everybody else was screaming about how terrible it is.
Christine, who is a longtime vegetarian, would rather eat veal than eat pineapple on pizza. That's how strongly opposed she was to pineapple on pizza.
She punched me. She went off.
That is not like her.
Dave was the same way. Ralph was the same way. So I don't know what we're missing about this argument. But Kevin, why don't you introduce the president of Iceland by his full name, please, and let's get him on the phone.
The president of Iceland's full name is Guðni Jóhannesson.
Hello, Mr. President.
Well, good morning. That was quite interesting experience hearing that one from you.
Yes. Well, your language is very difficult for non-Icelandic speakers.
Guðni.
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 Okay.
Guðni.
T.
It's just T-H.
T.
T. T. All right.
Okay, T.
Johansson.
Johansson.
Johansson. Okay. All right. Can we just call you Mr. President?
Yes, of course you can be calling me that, yes.
Okay. So the story was you were speaking in front of students. They asked you about the pineapple, and you also just went off on pineapple on pizza.
Well, because it's a crime against humanity.
It's no such thing.
It's just two flavors put together in a food that people like.
Not since Hitler has there been more of a crime against the souls of millions and millions of peoples.
Okay.
It's the worst thing, worse than any disease has ever been on Earth, the plague.
Wow.
Worse than the meteor that struck the planet millions of years ago, causing the extinction of the dinosaurs.
Okay, I think you're overreacting a little bit.
If you like it, you should die.
Okay.
Wow.
But maybe it's just a taste that isn't appealing to you, but that doesn't mean everybody else doesn't still like it.
There's right and wrong, and this is wrong.
I mean, it's just a matter of taste, though. It's subjective.
No, it's not. It's the worst thing ever.
Okay.
It is what I call fake pizza. It's fake pizza, and pineapple on pizza is not my enemy. Pineapple on pizza is the enemy of the people.
Okay. Again, you're overreacting.
We need to build a wall around Hawaii and make them pay for it. That's how awful pineapple is on pizza. We need a travel ban on Papa John and Little Caesar.
Wow.
They stop selling this evil, evil pizza that makes, first of all, you sterile.
That's not true.
I think that's true.
It's not true
also,
at all.
It makes your ass fat.
It's also not true.
I think you're just making things up to support your position because it's indefensible on its own, Mr. President.
Pizza is made with tomato sauce.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Where else? Are you eating big fruit salads with ketchup on them?
Well, no.
At your house?
No.
You should die then.
No, there's something about pineapple on a pizza with that tomato sauce and with a chicken or a ham, if you like it, or something like that. It's just a taste sensation.
It's a taste sensation,
or
Mr.
Taste
President.
Taste sensation. So when you have your apple and tomato and cheese sandwiches, or when you have your banana and ketchup in a bowl with some cheese or milk.
All right, those don't sound good.
Oh, what fruit is good then with tomato sauces and cheeses?
Just one, pineapple.
Yes, I can't explain why it works. It just does.
Explain why you're an ass.
All right, maybe you should just...
pineapple on cheese, Pete.
Why don't you try it again? Maybe that's the problem, is you just need to try it again. It's been too long since you've experienced how great it is.
I will bomb your country first.
You're not going to bomb
our
country.
Iceland's going to war with America.
An Icelandic bomb. I will write into law. I will write right now. I will write into the law.
Okay.
I have a pen.
Oh no.
Yes.
Yes.
You have a pen.
And I have a pineapple.
Uh-huh. You have a pineapple. All right.
Yeah. Pineapple pen. You're going to write a law against pineapple pizza, and then you will be in a bag in the desert.
Okay. We are told that actor Sam Richardson will be here any time now from Veep, of course, in the new show on Comedy Central called Detroiters. It's so, so funny. So hopefully Sam will get in here in a minute. We can talk to him. But first, though, this could be a controversial story that I'm about to bring you guys. Yeah. And I don't want everybody to yell at me.
All right. So prepare to yell at Bean. All right.
No, don't yell at me. But I'm just
I'm being real here. You know how we do the stories sometimes where the hot 26-year-old teacher has sex with the 17-year-old student, and we know it's wrong, and it's illegal, and it's a breach of trust, and it should never happen, and don't do it, and stop. But really, though, right?
What?
Look.
Thank you, Kevin. Help me out here.
No.
Look, I know I'm not defending it. I'm just saying.
It's a terrible thing.
It's a terrible thing, and don't do it, and God forbid it ever happens to anyone you know. But is it the worst thing in the world that ever happened to that teenage boy?
If the hot
26-year-old teacher had sex with him?
If it's a female teacher and a male boy.
That's what we're saying, right.
We take our cue from South Park.
I attend South Park Elementary, and one of the teachers is having sex with a student.
Oh, my God. This is terrible. You did the right thing telling the police, Brad. Now, who is the teacher? What's his name?
Well, it isn't a guy teacher. It's a woman.
A woman?
Yeah, she's having sex with a boy.
Oh, but she's ugly, right?
Well, no, not really. It's the kindergarten teacher, Miss Stevenson.
The blonde?
Yeah.
Some young boy's having sex with Miss Stevenson?
Yes.
Nice. Has she performed oral sex on him?
I think so.
Nice.
Nice.
So, wait, what's the crime? The crime is she isn't doing it with me.
All right, so Allie, you're
those guys.
You be the adult. You be the adult, and you tell us that we're dead wrong on this.
You're dead wrong.
And remind me again why, because I can't think of the reason.
Because it's child molestation, and it's illegal. They are underage.
How underage, though, Bean? I don't know your story.
Well, that story, that was a hypothetical story that I was given where the kid was 17 and the teacher was 26. Okay, but here's the real story that's in the news, and I don't know if the same thing applies or if we are coming down with the full force of the law on Brittany Foltz, 26, of Sandusky, Ohio, who has been charged with giving an elderly patient in a nursing home a lap dance. Now, he's 100, and she's 26, and she's...
How are you comparing these?
What are you even talking about? A school teacher having sex with a kid then?
Because there's a massive age difference and somebody is giving unwanted sexual attention to another person.
All right, wait. Did the guy not want it?
The guy, well, let's listen to a little bit of the story and we can decide how bad it is.
I can show you new things.
The Fox 8 I-Team obtained this cell phone video showing former Commons of Providence worker Brittany Foltz inside the room of an elderly man.
Tell if you want.
I'm a boy.
I'm a girl.
What's your name?
You know what that means.
What does that mean?
Okay.
All right, now... What's she doing there?
She's dancing around him. What does that mean? I'm a girl. What does that mean? Woo, woo. And then she starts, you know, shaking that ass and everything. She's giving him a lap dance. She's giving a 100-year-old a lap dance.
Does she
in the
know
nursing
him?
Home.
Yeah, who's videotaping this?
It's unclear who's... It was another employee, I think, that was videotaping because I think there was a suspicion that this had been going on.
Oh, jeez.
Nobody involved seems to work there anymore. They seems like they've all been fired. And charges are being filed against this Brittany Foltz for doing the lap dance. I guess what I'm asking is it the worst thing in the world if a 100-year-old guy in a nursing home is getting a lap dance from a nurse? Are we automatically against that?
It's elder abuse. If he's just trying to live his life, have some tapioca, and in walks a little Miss Sandusky, no. Inappropriate. No.
What if he likes it?
If he likes it, that's a different thing.
Okay.
Right. Well, it's unclear whether he likes it or not.
I feel like it's clear that he does.
You do? So he can feel better at it?
Read between the lines, but I feel like he really enjoyed it.
But I mean,
and I also want to go live there when I'm older.
How abusive is it, Allie? How abusive is it if she's giving him a lap dance?
If he wants the lap dance and can make that choice, that's one thing. They're both of age, obviously, four times the age, apparently. That's right. Fine. But if it's somebody that's in there with dementia and can't answer for himself, that's awful.
All right. Well, hold on. Let's see.
Before we
determine it's awful, let's hear some more of the story.
All right.
The video was taken by another former worker a couple months ago, but was just recently given to officials. Detectives tell me that as soon as officials here at the facility found out about the incident, they contacted police. Sandusky police say the victim is 100 years old and has dementia.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Good night.
I mean, why do you have to play that part, Bean?
So,
honestly, you leave that part out. We all have a good time, and we hit the commercial, we move on.
So,
and then you have to play that part.
Look, I'm not
if
editing.
If he has dementia, it's not cool. Well,
maybe,
edit it.
But maybe that's when he needs to bring him back, though. Maybe that's when he needs to wake him up out of his slumber.
He's not asleep. He has dementia.
Okay, so
Come on, now all of a sudden
the nurse can't do a striptease just because the guy is a little okay.
Yes.
Soon after receiving the video, they started an investigation and last week arrested Foltz.
We charged the suspect with gross sexual imposition, which is a felony of the fourth degree, and the reason why we pursue that because of the touching.
Foltz was released from the Erie County Jail on bond. A hearing was held Tuesday in Sandusky Municipal Court.
We have a caretaker who's pretty much harassing a resident. She's making sexual acts towards him. She at one point touches him by grinds on his thigh area.
Mm.
And another point she flashes him.
What's going on in little Brittany's mind, you guys?
Brittany's got some serious issues.
She's 100.
Yeah.
And she's a nurse. What's happening here?
It's the same thing with a rapist. This is about control. This is gross.
So we say no.
Absolutely
say no.
Because
of the dementia.
Okay.
If the guy is able to say, hey, I'm enjoying this or play along with it or anything.
Okay.
Then we're in.
Okay.
But if he has dementia and he can't make that decision,
I think we're out. I think that's reasonable. Do you still want to go live there as a senior citizen?
Yes, because then I will be able to make that choice. I'll just leave a note that says for the rest of time I'm fine with this.
The worst.
I don't want to exaggerate how much we love our next guest, but I think he's a goddamn national treasure, and I think you guys are with me, ladies and gentlemen. Actor Sam Richardson in studio right now. He, of course, is Richard Spleck on Veep and one of the stars of the new series Detroiters on Comedy Central. Sam, welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for having me.
We're so happy to have you. I don't even know where to start, but what's the last couple of years been for you as a guy who has been a working actor for some time and then all of a sudden to have these kind of big breakout roles where people are acknowledging how wonderful you are?
It's been a dream. It's just been so nice, like, to get to work and, like, have the work be appreciated, mm-hmm. you know? And, like, to get to first be on Veep, which is a show that I appreciate as, like, a fan of Veep, and I get to be on Veep has been the best. And then to have my show, Detroiters, and get to create my own thing and get to do my own thing entirely has been, I said dream earlier, and mm-hmm. I meant it.
Yeah. All right, let me ask you about that, because Veep is the funniest show of all time. We love it. We couldn't love it more. Does that scare you about being on such a successful show, and now you're going to go out and make something else? We also love Detroiters, but is there a thing in your mind going, how can I top what I'm already on?
You know, I think it actually, like, opens it up, and so it gives me a safety net, kind of, or like the pressure is kind of off.
Oh,
because like it wouldn't be fair to get to be on, you know, the two, if it was two greatest shows, it wouldn't be. Not that Detroiters not the best, because it is.
Yeah, you're not selling the show.
No, we love.
No, like, Detroiters is kind of like a thing that I do.
No, but we love Detroiters, but
Thank
I'm just
you.
Saying, was there fear in your mind of, oh, now I'm going to get compared to Veep, and that's a tough comparison?
I mean, yes, but
in
I think the shows are
it
so
holds
different.
Up, but.
Well, thank you very much. But, like, because I'm part of Veep, I don't feel competition with it, you know.
Okay.
I think it's just two different facets of myself.
We have so many questions about Detroiters, but I just want to ask you this one Veep thing, because you joined how far into the run of Veep? How many seasons in?
I joined in the third season.
Was that like for you to walk into a show that you were already a fan of and work? I mean, you're watching the show, and the next thing you're in a scene with Julie Louis-Dreyfus and Matt Walsh and Tony Hale and all these people that are – Gary Cole, all these people that are so amazing. How tough was it to get up to speed on that show?
It was actually surprisingly smooth, because, you know, I watched the show. I know the show. And I went in for an audition. I auditioned for a few other roles in the show, and nothing worked out. But then I came in for the character Richard, and it was supposed to be one episode. But I went in for the table read and for the rehearsal period. And it just went so well, and it was so much fun. Like, we re-improvised scenes, like, in the rehearsal, that it just kind of, like, it just worked, you know?
So you were comfortable enough to improvise in that setting?
I think it was, like, the perfect kind of nerves where I was alert and respectful, but also loose and, like,
wow, that's great.
Sharp.
And Richard, when the new season returns, when season six returns in April, you're part of the post presidency.
Yes,
for Julia, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine how that's gonna be. All right, so you had some time off in Veep, and you and your real life best friend Tim Robinson, who I recognized from his days on SNL. You guys, is this an idea you guys have had forever that you wanted to do this Detroiter show?
Well, because we're both from Detroit, and we both met in Detroit. Your best friends.
Really,
in Detroit.
You don't mention that very often.
The city of Detroit is in Michigan.
It doesn't come up often.
It's like real close to Windsor in Canada.
I have a question about Detroit. It seems from the outside, from people who didn't grow up there, like a terrible place. I'm not just trying to be insulting.
No, not at
but
all.
People who grew up there always reference it and love it.
Love it.
Yes.
Because, like, you know, there's this perception of it from the outside that it's just a wasteland and then everybody there.
Because it is.
It's not.
I mean, it appears to be.
Well, I mean, it's a place that is downtrodden, you know what I mean?
Right.
That has had, like, its fair share and then some of adversity and hardships. But the people there just have this indomitable will, you know, and like this love and belief in that city, which I have, which
and that's
Tim has,
impressive,
you know, and it's just this stick-to-itiveness. Is that the word that would be?
That is the word, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. So you and Tim met through Second City?
Through Second City in Detroit. There was a Second City in Detroit. We met through there. Tim was actually my level A teacher when I was an older teen. And then we just like became fast friends, would hang out all the time. And then we went to Chicago to do Second City, and the whole time we were saying, oh, I wish we could go back to Detroit and do something there. Like, wouldn't that be the best to get to go back to Detroit and like
so
bring something?
So this is really a dream come true for you two kids.
I mean, an absolute dream come true.
So why, so for folks who haven't seen Detroiters yet, and it's on Comedy Central, and you can stream the three episodes that have aired so far. Where did the idea of, hey, these guys are local advertising execs, where did that come from?
It came from, like, we just love the commercials from Detroit so much, and everybody knows their hometown commercials.
Yeah, they're all terrible.
And we love them.
So good. But there are some, like, if you grew up in Southern California, you know these certain commercials will always be on. You're Killing Me, Larry is one of them.
Yeah. Death
Dear God.
Jack.
Yes, Doritos.
So you had those local ones in Detroit.
Had those in Detroit, and we were like, oh, that's such an iconic thing to us, and it's like, it's such a fabric of the Detroit tapestry.
Oh, nice.
You know, I was looking for a word. I found tapestry. I was happy about it. But and also, we didn't want to make ourselves comedy writers. So to make it more accessible, we were like, well, why aren't we the people who write these commercials? That way, the process kind of folds over itself.
Right.
You know, like idea of like of pitching and you know, all night writing sessions and like that sort of thing. It applies to commercials as well.
And it also gives you the opportunity to be people who are creative and funny, and then other people can make fun of, and then you can make fun of yourselves as well.
Exactly.
So that's the genius part of it.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised because you got Lorne Michaels and Jason Sudeikis as your executive producers on the show. I'm so impressed with some of the guest stars you have this season, the first season of Detroiters. I mean, you're going to get a lot of eyeballs when you bring out people like George Wallace and, you know, Michael Che and Richard Karn, and Keegan is going to be on. I mean, it's a dream come true, this cast.
Yeah, it's pretty great because, like, some of those relationships are just relationships we've had, you know, working in comedy and in TV for as long as, like, we have, those relationships that we've been able to build and then finally get a chance to be like, oh, come do our show. And like Keegan, we've known Keegan for years. Keegan was
a Detroit guy, right?
A Detroit guy, yeah. You know, Second City guy. We're on an improv team together, the 313, you know,
right?
Which is the area code for Detroit. It's the city I'm
from.
Which is in Michigan.
You hadn't mentioned that. That's
know that because I tried calling the number last night for for Sam Duvet.
Wow.
Yeah. Didn't go through.
Yeah, really?
Was there a 555 in there?
There was. Didn't stop me.
Tell you what. 555, not just straight, not full-on available numbers now. Like,
really?
People have the number 555.
Is that right?
So I could have gotten someone.
You could
have
gotten
somebody. I thought it was entirely fake. If a phone number on TV or in movies, which starts with 555, it's never available. They just use that as a...
Yeah.
To make sure they don't accidentally put somebody's number on the screen, right?
So I think now it's like 555 and then another number, and then like the last three digits are usable.
So she actually could, Allie could have actually spoken to somebody.
Wanted some Sam Duvet.
You know, right? And so I'm sorry to anybody who has a 555 number who I just ruined their lives.
But Sam, did you ever apply for SNL too, like Tim did?
I did. I auditioned twice, as a matter of fact. This, the timing wasn't
right.
Wasn't right.
I'm sorry, Ellie, what?
I said dicks.
But it worked out for you.
It did. You know, and the relationship is there, and Lauren is a producer of the show. So I think it's the...
You did okay.
Yeah. Best case scenario, in my opinion.
It is. And one of the things that I love about the show, besides the real life friendship, and I don't know, maybe you guys are also good actors, but it really comes across on the screen that you guys... You know, you really are tight in real life. But the stuff that you guys do together on this show, like getting your belly buttons pierced and things like that, it just cracks me up so much because you're a grown-ass man and you really are going through life like you're about six.
Like six, like 2 6-year-old boys.
That's what it's like.
Who can drive cars.
2 6-year-old boys had a business.
Exactly.
This is what it would be like.
Exactly.
And what's the reaction been like with Comedy Central so far? Is it doing okay?
It's doing okay, yes. It's a positive... reaction. Yeah, I of course always want more people to watch the show.
Sure.
So if you're listening to this, watch Detroiters.
Well, let me just say this. We all try to at least watch one episode of a TV show for somebody who's coming into our station.
Uh-huh.
And it's varying success. Sometimes we don't like it, so we don't mention it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we do like it. So we all love this.
Oh, I watched all three of them, and I can't wait for more. I'm telling you, it's my favorite new show this season. It really is, Sam.
Thank you
good.
So very much. I'm so happy to hear that because, you know, it's so close to me. It's
Are you from Detroit?
I'm from Detroit, which is in Michigan, which is close to Windsor. Local sports teams include the Detroit Lions, Detroit Tigers, and Detroit Red Wings.
Sure. Yes.
All right. Well, listen.
The Red Wings are the Devils, first of all.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to –
don't fight with our guests.
The actual satanic, right?
Ugh.
All right. Sorry. Detroiters airs on Comedy Central, by the way, on Tuesday nights. And you can – as I said, you can catch up with the episodes you've missed so far on demand. But you definitely ought to set that up for a season pass and watch it. And Veep is coming back on April 16th. How does Selena do with not being president anymore? I bet she takes it real well, huh, Sam?
Oh, yeah. It's a smooth sailing. She's not president anymore, and she's happy about it. And then she's kind of watching her, like, sit on a couch and be like, yeah, it's fine. I'm good.
You you are welcome back anytime, Sam. Thank you
so much
for stopping by the Kevin
Mead
Show. You bet.
We appreciate it.
Well,
now you want to watch. God damn it.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Ralph Garman is here. It's time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Well, this is surprising news. Guess who's coming to TV?
It's a pretty big category.
Is this a movie star who's surprising us by the movie?
Movie star you haven't seen in a long time. Hasn't been working all that much. And now she's coming to a big high-profile TV show. I'll give you those clues.
It's a she.
All right.
Julia Roberts.
She is coming to television, actually, Allie, but not in this particular story.
Oh.
She's going to do an HBO thing, I think.
I felt real good for a second.
Yeah, you were not far off, but that's old news. This is new news.
All right.
That's what they call it, news.
Is it that
super, call it olds.
That super old lady from Titanic who had the big jewel?
Yes.
That's
yes,
a great
that's
guess.
Who it is.
Huh.
No, she's well dead. Demi Moore. Demi Moore is coming to television.
Okay.
That's a name we haven't heard in a while. She's a big movie star. You're saying she's coming to TV?
He's just trying to ruffle you.
That's why he's going to get the bag in the desert. That's why. That's how that works. Demi Moore's coming to Empire.
Oh.
Oh, so I'm not going to see her.
Why not? You can watch Empire.
But I don't.
Well, you
but
can.
That can change, you know? Right, but I'm over it. I'm over Empire. No.
She's going to have a major recurring role in the show as a take-charge nurse with a mysterious past. Who becomes ever more treacherously entangled with the Lion family.
Come in here telling me things, nurse! This is my empire!
Oh, Cookie, I don't think you can have the nurse and the empire.
Watch me have a nurse and an empire!
A little scene from the upcoming episode.
What was the last thing that she did to be more that we saw her in? I'm just trying to think back.
It's
been a long time.
I think About Last Night.
Well, I'm sure she works in
film with Jim Belushi and Rob Lowe.
St. Elmo's Fire.
St. Elmo's Fire was the last thing we saw her in. I don't know. What's she? G.I. Jane, maybe?
But even
was
that, I feel like that was 20 years ago, wasn't it?
I think so that's been established.
She shaved her head. Very different.
It's been established that she hasn't been in movies for a while, Bean.
In fact, okay. I think that was one of the very first things I said when I was bringing the story to light.
Right.
Right, but I'm
so we don't need to further look into that.
All right.
She's been established that it's been a while since we've really seen her work.
She's been in a few things that I've never heard of.
Lord.
But the last thing of any note that I can find on her IMDb was Charlie's Angels Full Throttle. And that was back in 2003.
Mr. Brooks.
Right. That movie with Mel and Albert?
I think Kevin Costner?
Mel Brooks.
What is happening?
We're just talking about Mel Brooks.
Just talking about Shaft. Hey, shut your mouth. Hey, let's get Kevin back in the conversation. When you guys were talking about young people having sex with older people, and how Kevin was all for it, and it seemed to be that's a fine idea, because apparently grown-ups can have sex with kids, and that's okay, Milo, in your world?
No.
Well, I was fascinated not only by your stand, but how you defined a boy, in my opinion.
Can we
a little something over there?
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is it the worst thing in the world that ever happened to that teenage boy?
If the hot
26-year-old teacher had sex with him?
If it's a female teacher and a male boy.
Right.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
It's okay if it's a female teacher and a male boy. But once you start bringing the female boys into it, then it really changes the complexion of the argument, I think.
I didn't even realize I said
that. I think
that.
Kevin has a point.
Kevin, goddammit.
How about that?
How about that indeed? Today's celebrity birthdays. Kyle MacLachlan. Oh, I cannot wait for the return to Twin Peaks. It's one of the only reasons I get up every morning.
How's it holding up for you? You said you're watching the first two seasons now on Showtime. Are you still enjoying it?
Listen, the second season is really a pale imitation of the first season.
Right. That's my memory of it.
It dropped off significantly. And yet, that being said, I am enjoying the second season enormously because it's so weird and goofy and ridiculous. It did get very sort of funny and silly in the second season, much more so than the first. Was kind of scary and spooky.
Right.
But you forget how great Windham Earle is. Remember Windham Earle, the bad guy in season two, who shows up and starts terrorizing Dale Cooper from his past? Hello? Is this thing on?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes. I just need to learn to say yes.
Great actor, great character. And you got Leo with that shock collar on. And like, come on.
Yeah, I need to revisit that show.
Apparently. All good. All good things.
Okay, cool.
So I'm really looking forward to the...
But what was the last movie that Demi Moore did?
Actor Thomas Jane is in the birthday list as well too today.
What?
Why do some people tune out?
He's 48. James Blunt is 43. Drew Barrymore is 42. She was in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle with Demi Moore.
Indeed.
It all comes full circle.
Get his weak stuff out of here.
And Liza Schlesinger celebrates her 34th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman, and I'm a male boy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
Hey, you guys. Chris Hernandez from North Hollywood is going to be here in the building on Monday. He'll be enjoying the music of AFI in the new HD radio sound space at K-Rock. You can watch the webcast at KROQ.com. You can stream it on K-Rock HD2 this Monday at 5 p.m. Our friend Nicole Alvarez is going to be hosting that. If you don't know, HD radio offers better sound quality, more stations, including K-Rock's HD2 and Rock of the 80s, and there is no subscription fee. So that's a pretty good deal. Your chance to win is coming up. And, of course, Chris and everyone who wins their way into the sound space is also eligible to maybe see the band in Glasgow, Scotland.
Oh, Glasgow, Scotland! I couldn't wait to go there, blow my bagpipes, and eat some haggis.
There you go. That's what you can be doing if you win this grand prize drawing, and we'll have that for you on Friday. Ralph is here now. Time for our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Fascinating conversation earlier today in the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm sorry if you missed it, about teachers having sex with their students.
We were very much against it, by the way, in all cases, regardless of the sex of the teacher.
It's not the case at all.
The student.
That's correct.
You guys were ultra creepy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Ultra creepy in your seeming pass for female teachers having sex with their students. And I thought it was wildly inappropriate. And I also I have to question Kevin's categorization of some people.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is it the worst thing in the world that ever happened to that teenage boy?
If
that the hot 26-year-old teacher had sex with him?
If it's a female teacher and a male boy.
Yeah.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Changes the entire argument. If it's a male boy, then it's a whole different thing. Do you mean like a boy works in a mailroom at the school?
I wish that's what I meant. That would make it a lot better.
You're the best thing that ever happened. Speaking of the best thing that ever happened, congratulations to Amber Tamblyn and her husband, actor David Cross. They had a baby girl this week. They announced the birth of their daughter on Instagram, and I'm hoping and assuming that the name of their daughter is a hilarious David Cross comedy chunk.
I would say that's a virtual lock.
Yeah. Here's what they said on Instagram. "David and I are proud to announce the birth of our daughter," wrote Amber. "Delphine, Petunia, Brittany, Scheherazade, Von Funkenstein, Mustard, Witch, RBG, Cross, Tamblyn Bay Jr." So I'm guessing that's a joke. Hashtag the future is female. So congratulations to...
Kevin, it must kill you that you're through naming children now because Von Funkenstein has been out there all this
really,
time. You didn't use it.
I am.
Dauphinois.
See, I don't even know what that is.
Dauphinois. It's a delicious cheesy potato dish.
No, oh, it does sound good. I'm going to have that with some pineapple pizza.
Ugh. Worst thing ever.
Get this weak stuff out of here.
Right? It's weak stuff.
Why do you suppose so many millions of people enjoy it, Ralph?
Oh, stop. Here we go with your invented statistics again.
Look.
Billions and billions of Americans eat it every morning for breakfast. Might as well. You just make numbers up.
Fake news.
You're the Donald Trump of radio.
Wouldn't you agree that millions of people have had pineapple on pizza throughout history?
Yes, but what percentage
of
all pizzas sold are pineapple?
A small percentage.
Minuscule percentage.
That doesn't mean millions of people don't enjoy it. That's my point. Are they all wrong?
Why are you arguing about
this? Are they all wrong?
Yes.
Why can't they just enjoy it? Because
answered.
It tastes good to them.
Stop pounding the desk,
Why
by the way.
Why is Bean pounding the desk?
It's not the Scopes monkey trial, okay? It's just pineapple pizza.
I just take this very seriously, that's all, because it's good and it's delicious and you should enjoy it.
You should be in a bag in the desert.
I've heard that. I have actually heard that before.
But doesn't make it so, just because it should happen.
Right.
We're no closer to it.
Speaking of eating, I want you to know that show business life is not all that glamorous. Sometimes it's hard. Like Jessica Biel, for example. Sure, she may seem to be a beautiful, glamorous star with her husband, Justin Timberlake, being all sexy and bringing it back. And being nominated for an Academy Award and being rich and famous. That may seem glamorous, but inside, Jessica Biel's just another overworked mom trying to hold it together, she tells us.
It's very human.
It is. She has a 22-month-old named Silas, and she said that it's so hard being a mom that she's been known to eat in the shower due to time constraints.
Ooh.
She doesn't have enough time to do both, so she has to combine eating and showering because she can't take the time to do one or the
other. It's worse than pineapple on pizza.
Huh.
Wouldn't that ruin your food?
Well, Jess says that sausage seems to be the best food to eat in the shower.
This is not real.
She's done research on all different foods.
Apparently sausage is okay. You can't do too much damage with sausage.
Okay.
However, she wouldn't recommend sandwiches, though. That can be a little tough, she added.
This is the weirdest story ever.
Well, now you know. She wants to know, though, that everyone to know that she's very excited about attending the Academy Awards, and she hopes that Justin Timberlake wins for Can't Stop the Feeling, which I think is in the Trolls movie, right? Is that the
That's correct, yes.
Yeah. My kid's nuts for those Trolls. I keep telling her, I said, what's the best movie you ever saw? Lego Batman? You know, we've seen Paddington. We've seen some great kids' movies. Trolls. Come on, kid.
Not Deer Hunter?
Because that's a movie, Ralph, that you would never...
Oh, it would be inappropriate to show to
see. Unlikely for her to see.
Right? Can't wait to see Bean set at the Chuckle Hut this weekend. It's going to slay.
Showed her Wizard of Oz, by the way, for the first time this past weekend. She saw Wizard of Oz for the first time. And the first time I had watched it in years.
Right.
And it seems, as I watch it now, that there's about 4 hours of black and white farm stuff before you get to the good stuff in Oz. I was sitting there going, really? She's still walking around bitching about her dog and the old lady? And where's the damn twister? My God, this is taking forever. But then it kicks in, right? Then you get the midgets.
Right. That's when you know you're on fire.
We represent the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild, the Lollipop Guild. Follow the yellow brick road.
Chip's getting visually excited.
So did it...
Talk about your people, is that what it is? Like a mating call for you, Chip?
Yeah. Did it hold up, Ralph? Because that movie's got to be, what, around 80 years old now? Was it still
1939,
good?
Bean, was the year it was made. So almost 80 years, yeah. It's amazing. It's wildly entertaining and quite the undertaking. As you watch, you say, wow, this would be hard to film today. Probably harder to film it then than it would be today because no CGI, nothing, all done in one shot, tons of extras, everything coordinated. Yeah. It's really impressive. There you go. Here's my... review of The Wizard of Oz.
Great, if you're looking for a good movie.
If you're looking for a review on that film, finally getting around to reviewing The Wizard
it's
of Oz.
It's pretty good, yeah, Ralph says. Good. Kevin, have you seen it?
Yeah, of course. Don't be ridiculous.
Well, it's old. I thought maybe you would boycott it just because it was old.
You haven't seen it.
I've seen it.
You haven't seen it, have you? Today's celebrity birthday is Kyle MacLachlan's 58 years old today. Thomas Jane is 48. James Blunt, he's 43. Drew Barrymore, 42 years old today. Liza Schlesinger is 34. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Thursday mornings on the Kevin and Bean Show means we check in with our friend Jim Rome. We check in with Dr. Drew. And we're also going to talk to Oscar De La Hoya on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.